Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This morning, we're going to take a little pivot from our series on loving one another deeply. And this morning, as I was, you know, kind of getting ready for it, it's like, okay, it's Father's Day. And of course, I'm horrible at themed messages like, okay, you know, wind him up and make him perform. Father's Day message. I'm going to fail at that every time. Like, I'm just not that guy. But I did, as I was kind of getting ready for this message and thinking about where are we at right now, what do I think is an appropriate reminder for us? I don't think this is a new message, but I do think it's an appropriate reminder and a really good one for dads, but also a really good one for everybody else with a soul. And so I figured out, man, we got them all. We got dads and everybody with souls. So we're set, okay? So here's your happy Father's Day message, living with purpose. This morning, what I want to talk about is the importance, the reality, the way God sees it, and what it means to live in purpose, and really, what happens when we don't. A couple of thought processes. There are some significant kingdom values. I mean, I don't know how many you could call, like, the big ones in the Bible, probably a bunch. A few of them just came to mind that I'm thinking about are, like, the major, like, overlying issues of the kingdom of God. You know, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving him. Godliness, the value of living righteously, that is a major kingdom value. Another would be faithfulness. There's just so much in the New Testament that just talks about, like, just keep doing the right thing because it's the right thing. Like, don't stop doing that. You want to keep doing that. There's another piece that I don't know that necessarily makes it into that list often enough, and that is purpose. It's another essential aspect of your walk in God that you live with purpose. We're created to live with purpose, and when we're not living with purpose, we feel a little wonky, we feel a little off, we feel frustrated. It can lead us down all sorts of trails that are not necessarily the worst things, they're just super not the best thing. If we live without purpose, if we are living our lives without some clear direction that we got from God, clear direction that we know, this is why I'm on planet Earth, we just wind up kind of living a little off course or a lot off course. And this morning, I want to exhort us again to reach for the purposes of God that he has for our lives. So, you know, the final piece of this little intro is, I think about the responsibility that I have, you know, part of the purpose that I've got as a pastor. And I live with a little bit of fear and trembling, maybe a little bit more than a little, that there would be people that are a part of our church that wouldn't accomplish the purposes that God put them on the planet for. I'm sick over that idea. I don't think about it all the time, but when I think about it, it really, like, oh God, don't let there be people that are part of our little fellowship, our little community, that are living outside of the intentions that you had for them. Like, why are they on the planet? You had these reasons, God, and they're over here living these reasons. Like, oh God, say it ain't so. And so part of a message like this is any of us that need any little nudging back to center, I want to be able to give us that this morning. We've been called to do stuff. I'm going to give you a few verses. I want to give us a few that will just kind of help us set ourselves, kind of plumb line ourselves to the truth. You know, one of the ways that I really like to teach the word is to set up the scene for where we're going. Set up the scene for what does the Bible call us to, speak to us about. Let's get a right version of truth, because we all walk around in a world that's blabbering all sorts of false versions of truth. Let's get ourselves reset, replumbed line to truth, and then let's talk a little bit about it. So we've been called according to his purpose. Look at this verse in Romans 8, 28. You guys are familiar with it. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's interesting. It doesn't say, as other places would, been called into his family, been called into fellowship, called into obedience. All those things are true too. This verse says, God is busy working for you. Who? Everyone that has been called into his purpose. His purpose. That's the focus I want us to catch. God has purpose, and you are part of it. His purposes. For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those he predestined, he also called. So I want to give just a little bit of attention. This idea of called. You were called. You were saved. But when you were saved, you maybe didn't realize you were called. Called to do what? Called into this, called into that. I don't know the answer to that question. One thing I'm confident of is you were called. You have the responsibility, just like I do, of figuring out called to do what. But you have been called according to his purposes. You are in the purpose of God. Think about that. Think about, let's just kind of bring it down to like, you know, the construction manager on a big construction project, okay? That construction manager is called to build the building. And everybody else that's around that construction site is called according to that purpose. But each one on the job site probably has different parts they're supposed to do, okay? And how do they figure out what they're supposed to do? Am I the electrician? Am I the carpet guy? You know, am I the get rid of the old mold? Am I the plumber? What is my job? You ask the foreman, the guy that's over the construction site. It's his purpose. And everyone that's on the job site has got a part in that. This is a really good picture for us. God has a purpose. Planet Earth, your existence isn't an accident. You part in the kingdom. You're not just here to kind of like stay saved and die. You were called according to the purposes of God, and he has a point for your life. He has stuff in his mind for 2024 and you related to the kingdom of God. You are called according to the purposes of God. Don't waste your life. You only get one. That's the part that hits me. And I'm just constantly like, oh God, warn us again and again. We're going to get to the end of our life and we're going to have spent it one way or another or a variety of ways. Some seasons we were a little bit more on, some seasons maybe a little off. And that's it. We will give an account and we will have spent our life either for the purposes of God or what's very, very common, the purposes of self. It's just so normal to go that way. It's probably default, unfortunately. And we'll have plenty of cheerleaders applauding us as we pursue the purposes of self. And we'll probably have detractors as we try to pursue the purposes of God for our life, because plenty of times God's like, I want you to go left. And you're like, God, left looks dumb and messy. And the Lord's like, yeah, it's perfect for you. You'll be great at this. Actually, you'll be horrible at it, but I'll help you. Yeah, I think I could get hurt this way. Oh, yeah, you'll get plenty hurt this way. Yeah, it's good. It's good for you. Couldn't I just do the other thing? Well, sure, if you want to live for yourself, you can. And I'll give you that choice because I've given you free will. You do have a choice. That pesky free will thing, it bugs me again and again. All right, well, look at this. Let's look at another verse. It talks, I mean, same concept, a little bit different approach. 2 Timothy 2. This is 20 through 21. This is Paul talking to Timothy about just how it is in the kingdom. It says, in a large house, there are articles, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter. Now, what's the latter in this? In the language forming here, the latter would be common use. Cleansing yourself from just commonly part of the kingdom of God, just commonly a part of God's kingdom. Cleansing yourself from that. It says this, those that cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Whoa. Paul says it's the responsibility of the article to figure out how to become useful. You see that? I mean, it's like a choice. It's not like, well, some articles, some people in the kingdom of God, they'll be useful. And some people, they can't be. It just wasn't destined for them. They can't be useful. It says, no, they've made themselves useful. Whoa. I just don't want to stand up there before the Lord and maybe Paul in the background. And all I see from Paul is 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21 coming out of his eyes at me. You know, it's like there's God. I'm having to answer to him and talk to him about it. There's also Paul back in the distance. He's just looking. And somehow 2 Timothy 2:20 is just coming through his eyes at me. It's like we're standing before the Lord and they're like, you didn't make yourself useful for God. Why? What were you doing down here? What game did you think we were playing? You were supposed to make yourself useful in the hands of the master. You can. Not just can. This is how we live life for God. That we make ourselves useful. That there's purposes. There's stuff God wants to do. I love that. I love that idea. There's some times where my kids are doing something, and I'm looking at it, and I don't know what the heck it is. It doesn't make a lick of sense to me. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but at least I'm in a Holy Spirit good mood right now. I'll get down and do it with you. And I'm now down doing whatever it is they're doing, and I don't have a clue what it is, and I don't really care. I just want to be there with them doing what they're doing. And I don't. They can explain it to me all day long, and I still won't understand. Gabby has got one of the most active imaginations. She can go to faraway places and try to take you there. And it's like, I'm a little too anchored in reality. I don't know where that is, but I'm smiling and sure put it on my head, you know? So I'm thinking about that, like that desire to just do something with her. The Lord wants us to have that same desire with him, that we would want to do stuff with him, the things that he cares about. He has purposes. There's stuff he actually wants to accomplish. And he's bound himself, infinite as he is, he's bound himself to not do most of what he wants to do by himself. He wants to accomplish purposes on earth, in the kingdom of God, in Arlington, in your families, in your personal life, in your workplace. There's stuff he wants to do, and he won't just snap his fingers and do it. He wants you to do it with him. But we can only do that if we've made ourselves useful, if we've made ourselves available. Availability is 9% or 90% of the deal. If we've made ourselves available and said, yes, Lord, I will be a tool in your hand. I will be useful. I will serve your purposes. We are given so many opportunities. Marketing is a really painful enemy against Christendom. Not even if it's marketing bad stuff. Just the fact that there's constantly choices being put before us. You can have this, you can do this, you can pursue this. If you do this, 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 then you can have that. These things are damaging, if we're not careful, to the kingdom of God's advancement, because we think, because we have a free will, I can spend my life and my time and my energy however I want to. And the Lord's like, well, you can, but that's not why you're here. You were here for the purposes of God. And you only have X number of months and years to do the purposes of God before this age transitions, at least for you. And the rules look different. Man, to be an instrument for special purposes, useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. This isn't super saints. This is saved yesterday, guy or girl. This isn't, well, the really gifted. This is the least gifted amongst us. You can be used by God. Special purposes. You can be used as an instrument in the hand of the Lord, and that's actually his desire. That's not all that's happening in the kingdom. But it is a significant piece that I feel like us in our American lifestyles, if we're not careful, we can get off course. I'll say it this way. If we're not careful, we will get off course. There's too many opportunities and voices coming at us from too many directions too frequently for us to be able to coast and wind up okay. You won't wind up okay. You'll waste your life. I love you enough to tell you, if you coast, you will waste your life because the voices are too loud and you hear them too often. Look at this other verse about purpose. There's another one that's just like, man, Lord, that is a big deal. Acts 13, 36. The apostles in the New Testament, in the time of the church of Acts and the church in Jerusalem, and they're explaining some things about the kingdom of God. And they say this, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Think about this again. Just kind of get your head in God's thought processes. Every generation, God has stuff God wants to get done in that generation. Some of those things are different than the generation before it, and some of those things are different than the generation after it, and some of those things are different in this country than in this part of the world, than over in this part of the world. There's things, but there's stuff. It's not like God just like, so long as they keep doing some good kingdom of God stuff, we'll get there. No. There are purposes in God's heart. And he can't accomplish them. Or maybe a better way is to say he refuses to. But he won't. He won't accomplish the things that are in his own heart to accomplish without human participation. And that human participation, it can't all be accidental. Like, well, we got enough of those numbskulls down there and they're all just kind of bumping around into each other. Eventually, somebody's bound to do something that was accidentally in the purpose of God. We're supposed to be about the purposes of God. You've only got one life to live. This life, this one, we are supposed to be about the kingdom of God. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What do you want? We have got to get that into our mindset. I think plenty of people, this is another one of those like pastoral pain points, okay? I think plenty of people go their entire life and never asked God the question, what are you doing in my generation? And how do I do it? I think plenty of people make it through their whole life, stand before the Lord, and never ask the question because they didn't know it was a thing to ask. Because it's a pretty big idea, right? That God has purposes for each generation. That's a pretty big idea. But I think plenty of people make it their whole life and never ask the Lord, what are the purposes that you have in this generation that I could come along and serve? And never even ask the question. Man, I mean, I know God's emotions, he's like stable, but this sounds a little lonely. Like, if you're God, like, oh, please, could I just get a few of them down there to care about what I want? Like, I mean, it's not quite that way. I know that. He's emotionally complicated and very secure. Well, all right, so if these verses about purpose, if they're real, and I mean they are, we just looked at them. If they're real, what do we need to do? I think we need to renounce the American dream. I think we need to renounce it. I mean, we need to look at it and say, I will not be about that. I will not make that my goal. That is not who I am. That is not my life. Because everything in your sphere tells you to be about that. Everything does. The lie is, if we give into that, and because we're hurt, we hear it all the time, the lie is it will create contentment. The lie is that's good enough. That's purpose. Here's the subtle lie. Here's the interesting part about it. For those who do not have Christ, the best they can do is the American dream. And at least it gives them purpose. For those that don't have Christ, like better have some goal in mind, right? Better pursue something. You have Jesus. You have the kingdom of God inside of you. We cannot make our pursuit the American dream. We've got to make our pursuit Jesus and trust he will give us everything we need along the way. And I'll just say this. If you do an excellent job pursuing Jesus, you will have plenty of the American dream all about your life. But you don't have to seek it. And I think that's where we fall so often, is we get to seeking after the thing that God said he'd give us. And then because we were busy seeking the thing that God said he'd give us, we're not seeking the thing that God said, I won't do this part for you. And so the kingdom of God gets neglected, and the kingdom that we're building for ourselves gets built. Here's another piece that I've just seen. There's a distance that happens. I've watched this in so many people. Oh, gosh. You know, being in church for 25 years isn't a lot of time. I mean, it's not like 100 years. I don't know who could do that, but Lord bless them if they can. But 25 years is enough to have met dozens and dozens of people. And I'm thinking specifically of men. I mean, I've just gotten closer to men and whatever over the years and had more deep conversations and life conversations and what are you about and what's your life about. I've had more conversations with men over the years. I've had dozens and dozens of conversations where I see a believer who has made their life the American dream, has made church going part of their experience because they recognize the values and I think they love the Lord. And there's a hollowness. There's a discontent. And what happens, this is the part that's concerning above everything else that's concerning. If you love the Lord, but you make your purposes not the Lord's purposes, you make them your own purposes, you will drift from your relationship with the Lord. I don't mean drift away entirely, but you will not have a fiery heart. You can't be about a man who has got all these purposes and be like, hey, listen, I love you, but can we only talk about these four things that get me excited? Because all the other stuff that's in your heart, I'm sure it's great. Talk to somebody else who's willing to do it, because I'm not. I'm busy with my life down here. Can you just, like, you do your thing and I'll do my thing? We can't stay in a growing, intimate friendship with God. Those are incongruent. It doesn't work that way. Well, let's read the verse. You guys probably knew where I was going. Matthew 6, 28 through 34. This is a great word for us to hear regularly. I mean, Father's Day, leaders of households, I was like, this is a really good one because there's a lot of pressures on us to perform. There's all sorts of things we're supposed to be doing and caring about and carrying in our hearts. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? It's interesting. Jesus makes what seems to be a leap. He's talking about worrying about not having enough of the stuff in life to be able to make it. Because that's the subject, is like we need clothes and we need food. And he's like, yeah, but you've made your life worrying about those things. You've made your life the purpose of your existence to try to get enough of that to make it. He's like, you have no faith. Faith is pursuing God's purposes and trusting that God will take care of those things for you instead of you having to take care of all those things for you. So then he says this. Here's the response. He says, I just told you what not to do. Now let me tell you what to do, you of little faith. Don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or wear. The pagans, the godless, the people without the Holy Spirit living in them, the people that don't have access to the kingdom of God, they run after all these things. And your Father in heaven knows that you need them. So what's the solution, Jesus? What do? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all that stuff will be given to you. You do not have to pursue it. The American dream teaches us the opposite. Invest all you have in order to accomplish this reality, to get all this stuff for yourself. It's a smack in God's face. That's not what we're here for. God's like, you're going to have clothes and food and a house and family. You're going to have that stuff. Like, this isn't about whether you have it or not. It's about how you get it. Did you go try to make that happen for yourself? Because if you did, you used all your energy on it. Instead, I want your energy seeking the kingdom of God. Moving forward the purposes of God. We just got done reading all these verses about God's purposes. God says, be about my purposes, and I'll take care of all that little stuff you need. You know, a place to live, food, all the things in life. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. Maybe says it the clearest, I don't know. We are God's handiwork. He made you. He crafted you. He made you, your personality, your strengths, your weaknesses, your quirks. He made you just like he made you, and he did it on purpose. And he goes, handiwork. Look what I did. I did that. That's my handiwork. And why did he do that? Why were we made? We are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do stuff. To do good works. You see it? You were created to do good works for Christ. That's why you're here. There's more to it than that. This morning's message is pretty focused. You were created to do good works. And he says, I'm the one that crafted you in a certain way, so I actually I've made it so that you can do stuff others can't. I've actually set this up in such a way that you'll be able to pull off stuff that is right in accordance to my purposes. Because I'm the one that crafted you. I created you to do stuff. Which God prepared ahead of time. Before you were born, God had some stuff he wanted done in 2024. In 2025. And to the pain of our heart, 2023, which is past. And if we did it, we did it. And if we didn't, we didn't. He put stuff in place. He prepared stuff. Stuff to do for God. He prepared it in advance for you to do. You're his handiwork. It's why you were created. I mean, this is... I thought I was created to, like, you know, I mean, love the Lord and then do whatever I wanted. Where did we get that idea? Our culture is so loud about it. And the influence of Christianity in the American culture has caused us to think so much of the rhetoric must be truth because it's got some aspect of Christianity influencing it to some degree. It's false. You were created to do good works for Christ. Not even random ones. See, that's the part I want us to get. It goes back to purpose. It's not random stuff. It's not just read your Bible and then find out the 100 things the Bible says, do this. It's specific stuff that he created, prepared, crafted in advance, even before you were born, because he's got specific purposes for your life. Now, I'll say this. Doing good works for Christ can look a lot of ways. I mean, there's like... That can look so many different ways, but it can't look like nothing. Can we be in agreement? It can look a lot of ways, but it can't look like nothing. I think it can change from person to person. You could have two people in the same spot in life, and God's purpose for this one is different than God's purpose for this one, and everything on the exterior looks the same. It can be different season to season. I've certainly seen that in my life. The Lord's like, this is my purpose. I want you focused on this. These are the good works that I have for you in this season. A season shifts kind of out of the blue, or maybe over time gradually, and you realize God's purposes for me are now this. This is something different. God's purposes can look different season to season, and they can look different ministry to ministry. You know, just like the Lord calls a person according to his purposes, he calls forth a ministry according to his purposes. It's not about the thing you're doing. I'm like, it could be God's purpose, the way you're going to serve him. And the Lord's like to two people that work at Walmart. And the one dude is like, Your job is be at Walmart and witness to your teammates, those that are your servant, and then do a great job and get promoted and make a lot of money and use that money to build the kingdom of God. The next guy at Walmart who might be better at his job than that guy, and the Lord's like, I don't even want you at Walmart. I want you doing something completely different. It's not about being at Walmart or not being at Walmart. It's not about doing this particular ministry expression or this particular ministry expression. The Lord has purposes, so many purposes. So you can't identify it. You can't like figure out the purpose of God for your life by simply reading the Bible and coming up with the things that the Word of God puts a thumb up on and the Word of God says, no, don't be a part of those things. It's not sufficient. You need to know the purposes of God for your life. What is God doing with you? Different, but not absent. You were created for kingdom purposes. Having a good job, having a house, having a family will not satisfy you. But serving the kingdom purposes that God puts you on the planet will, because that's why you were created. Created to do good works for Christ. That's why you were created. So when you do other things, they might scratch a little itch. But you'll not feel fulfilled. Not long term, because that's not why you were put on the planet. You were put on the planet to do good works, which God created in advance for you to do. And when you find yourself doing the God work that God created you, you go, this is great. I'm doing it. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm investing my time and my energy and my thoughts and my talents and my weakness in what God gave me. I'm in purpose. This feels great. Still with its challenges. But in your, like when you dial down, you go, am I living the life God put me on the planet for? You can say yes in a resounding way in your soul. It feels really good. Even with the challenges. But if you pursue just the things that you want, if your life is about you and your desires and the things that you're after, and you're putting your energy there, you're going to end up wasting your life. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The American Dream tells us, work really hard for the desires of your heart, and you'll get them. Those are opposite. Those are opposite. And you've only got so much energy to give. So you're either going to put 100% of your energy in these ways, or you're going to put them in another way. And the Lord is zealous for us that we would be a people that are not taking our cues from the world, our culture, our friends, our family, that are taking our cues from the Lord. That we would be dialing down to try to figure out His will. I'm going to give you the scripture of Jesus on the cross, Luke 22, 42. You want to turn this into a prayer for yourself. If Jesus can pray it in this moment, which the circumstances are as challenging as they get for anybody. He's dying on a cross. And he's like, not really excited about this plan of yours. He says, but Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet superior to my desire. Superior to my, I'm about to die. Superior to everything that I've built. Superior to everything that I'm comfortable with. Superior to that, not my will. But Father, your will be done. These are the parting words of the ministry of Jesus before the resurrection. It's like, this is how he's ending. Could you just think about what a statement this is? Like his final sermon, you know? Not my will. I hope everybody hears me forever that says they want to follow me. Not my will. But your will, God's will, your purposes, God's purposes, not my purposes. That's what we're supposed to be about. I want to make our life count. I really, really do. Let's put up this verse in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 13. Each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, second category, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. When we stand before him, how we invested our time and our energy, what we lived for, it's all going to be there like on an altar. And the Lord's going to set the thing on fire. And there's going to be some stuff that remains. And there's going to be some stuff that's burnt up. And it has absolutely nothing to do with what it is. Nothing. Everything to do with, is that what the Lord wanted for your life? Again, Walmart gets burned up in the one guy when he stands before him. And Walmart looks like a shiny stone for the next guy because he was living according to the purpose of the Lord. We have got to figure out God's purposes. We have to. It just, we cannot make it through this life. We cannot afford. I don't want to go another week or another month without challenging each of us in this church. What are the purposes of God for my life? What has he commissioned me to? Listen, I want to tell you right now, if the Lord speaks to you that you're supposed to do this thing, and to us it just looks crazy, you'd better do that thing. If the Lord speaks to you about something that just looks not impressive to you, and that's what he speaks, you better do that thing. It's not about whether it's flashy. It's not about whether it looks like ministry or not. It's about the leadership of the Lord and the purposes of God that he has, because the Lord can use anything in your life as ministry and advancement of the kingdom if it was his idea instead of your idea. The same thing could be your idea or his, esteemable or perishable. The same thing. It's really important we figure out the purpose of God. It's not enough that we just live a good life. You can live plenty of good life that's going to get burnt up at the end of this thing. We want to be in the purposes of God. One life to live. Man, I want that so bad for us. I'm going to end with this. Worship team, you can come on up. But if you would, don't start playing until I wrap up. I'm just going to end with this thought process. I think you'll track with me. I think this will make sense. Some of you are like, I have absolutely no idea where to start. What the heck do I do? Well, first, the Bible is filled with information about what God cares about. You take one of those things that you see God cares about, and you go, Lord, how am I supposed to interact with that in this season? And the Lord will start to give you a little bit of clarity. That's one way. Another is just a blank slate. You're just, you know, pacing back and forth in the prayer room or driving down the road in your car, and you're just going, God, what are you highlighting for me in this season? Like, what are you wanting to do? What are you wanting my life to be about? And remember, it could look different than another season. I mean, today's Father's Day. When I became a father, significant piece of the kingdom purposes that God has for me got clearly identified with first, middle, and last names. It's part of the plan. It's not the whole plan. It's not all of God's purpose for me. But it's a part of God's purpose for me in this season that wasn't a part of his purpose for me, you know, 12 years ago. You kind of got to ask him, Lord, what is this supposed to look like? Don't just assume. Ask him the question. But here's the last piece that I wanted to point out that I think makes some sense. I just go with me here. God called this church. We had a great conversation at our lead team trip this weekend. God called this church to be a church that carries a pretty simple vision. We'd do small groups, and we would do everything we could to make the prayer room successful. Pour money into it, ask everybody to join prayer meetings and to serve over there. Now, here's the part that I think makes sense. God has made it so clear, Forerunner Fellowship is supposed to be a praying church and really carry the vision of the prayer room. How odd it would be for God to call a church to do that, and then call people to that church to not do that. I mean, is that right? I mean, That jives, right? That makes sense. Like, I mean, how weird would it be? Lord's like, well, I got this plan, but then I'm going to call a bunch of people to it. But like, they're not supposed to do that at all. They're supposed to do something else. Like, that's not how that works. We've got a collective assignment. It's part of his corporate plan. Now, that can even look a lot of different ways. My primary point this morning isn't to try to get everybody to join prayer meetings. But if you're not joining one, go join one. My primary purpose this morning is to get us thinking, how do I find myself in alignment with what God is doing in this season of my life? And if he called you to this church, it's pretty clear there's some pieces of that that are already identified. I mean, it's pretty clear. But even those, take them to the Lord. Lord, speak to me. Here's what I want to do. Andy, you can come on up too. I want us to spend this next week asking the Lord what his purposes are for us so that we could find ourselves in the plan of God, that we could find ourselves following him, hearing him, saying yes to his purposes, and even starting to address some of the things that were our idea, and they were a good idea, they were a plausible idea. It's just not God's purpose for our life. It's just not the way we're supposed to be spending our time or our energy. And if you know the Lord is speaking to you, this is what I'm supposed to do, don't let anybody talk you out of it. Follow the purposes of the Lord.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.